You are listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on hoopfeed.com. Hi, everybody. This is David Siegel welcoming you to one of my favorite Dishin' and Swishin' podcasts of the year. With the NCAA tournament underway, we have for you an array of some of the most important players for their respective teams, players that you would consider high-impact performers, the ones that need to play well for their team to survive in advance. These interviews have been conducted over the last week or so, so don't be surprised if you hear Elena Deladon talking about playing for the last time on her home court, or Denisha Stallworth talking about beating Dayton. One thing is for sure, you'll get some insight into what makes these players special and what you can expect with this weekend's games. We'll start in the Bridgeport Regional with Delaware star forward Elena Deladon, followed by her Saturday opponent, Kentucky's Denisha Stallworth. Still in the Bridgeport Regional, my guest is then the amazing Alyssa Thomas of Maryland. We'll then head to the Spokane Regional, where the governor of Nerd City, Janae Aguamake, chats Stanford Hoops. Notre Dame is top seed in the Norfolk region, and Kayla McBride visits the show. She is playing as well as she ever has, continuing on from her Big East Tournament Most Outstanding Player performance. Finally, second-seeded Duke is trying to get to that big matchup with the Irish, and the Blue Devils are led by their sophomore center, Elizabeth Williams, our final guest of the podcast. It's rapid-fire and fast-moving, six interviews with six great players in about 45 minutes. So get ready for the Sweet 16 with today's podcast. Enjoy.
This is Maya Moore, and you're listening to Dishin' and Swishin'.
Hey, everybody. David Siegel on Dishin' and Swishin', and we're looking at the stars of the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament. And it's a pleasure to have back, I believe this is the third time now that she's been on Dishin' and Swishin'. Elena Deladon, welcome back. How are you today?
I'm good.
So let's get the fun things out of the way first. First of all, congratulations on being a finalist for the Naismith.
Thank you very much.
Well, let's talk about the matters at hand. The team is clicking on all cylinders now. But this obviously was not how you envisioned your season, your senior year to go.
No. The beginning was a little shaky.
But you've been back now for a while. You're feeling good?
Yeah, I feel 100%. I really do.
Well, that's
I still have to keep up on my treatments, but I'm feeling 100% with those helping me out.
Now, well, one thing that people have to realize is that this team, yeah, it helped them pull a little bit together when you weren't available, but this is a good group of players that has been together for a couple of years now. And when you get this group together, this isn't just, the Elena show.
Right, not at all. I think that the world was kind of able to see what the reality is with my team without me playing. They were able to pull off some big wins without me. And the truth is that they are a great team without me. And that's what I think people are going to see in this tournament as well, is that we're not just a one-man show in any way. We have a ton of talent on this team. But more importantly than that, we know how to pull our talent together to win games.
And there's nobody on this team that's afraid to take the big shot or to make the big play or to take the ball to the basket when they have to.
No, not at all. And I think that comes with experience, too. And you can kind of see it through the CAA championship and then through the selection show. It's kind of like that sense of we've been here before. Last year it was all new to us, and we were all a little bit shocked by it. But now we've been here before, so nothing can shock us with what's about to come through March Madness.
It's kind of interesting. People, with the one loss that they have this year, there are some people that are kind of saying that Baylor may be a little bit more vulnerable in the past. Now, last year, you guys came in and people were expecting, I think, too much out of you a little bit last year. Now, this year, though, you've got, I think, a far superior team than last year in terms of playing together in chemistry. And people are saying that they think that you might be a little more vulnerable as well.
Right. And I think the truth is, when you look at our record, last year, we only had one loss, and that was to Maryland. And this year, we have three. But two of those losses came early, and I think that a lot of people that haven't had the chance to see us play because we're not on ESPN as often and we're not on TV as much, people who haven't had the chance to see us play look at that record and say three losses is more than last year, and that's what they're comparing it to. But I think that as far as confidence goes and experience goes, we're further along this year than we were last year.
And I don't think people give the CAA enough credit either. I mean, the schools like, you know, James Madison and the ones that always keep the games close, no matter who you, when you play them. You know, people
right.
just don't realize, you know, you play each other again and again, and you know, it makes for a whole different experience.
And I agree with you that I don't think the CAA gets enough credit, because we played a tough schedule this year and last year. I mean, we played the Maryland and the Penn State and even Princeton, who's done very well in the Ivy League. And honestly, some of our toughest games have come out of the CAA. And that's because the teams know you, the coaches know you, and every game in the CAA is a battle. And I don't think people see that, because the conference isn't as on as big of a stage as some of the other conferences, but it's definitely, conference games in the CAA are a battle. And it's really prepared us for what's about to come in the tournament, I think.
Do you get a little bit more turned on, the team, get a little more psyched up now, knowing that you're finally going to get the opportunity to be seen on the big stage, playing against some of these, you know, BCS conference teams that maybe don't get to schedule you during the regular season?
You know, I think that, honestly, as a team, we've been very focused and very pumped up for every game this season. The focus has been unbelievable for my teammates and for myself. And I think that, yeah, there's going to be other cameras in the gym for the NCAA tournament, but it's a basketball game. Once that ball goes up, it's all the same.
Hey, you've been playing in front of a full house in Newark anyway.
Right. We've sold out the Bob Carpenter Center for most of the games this year. And, I mean, honestly, I think that's an advantage beyond anything, is we have some of the best fans, and we have filled up the arena and played in front of 5,000 people for most of our games this year. So I think we're ready for that.
Can you believe that it's almost the end of the line? It's almost the end of the senior year already? It seems like it was just, you know, yesterday that you were suiting up for the first time, and didn't you score like 30 points in your first game too at Delaware?
I remember when my first game was. It was against St. Francis in Pennsylvania. I don't remember how many points I had, but it doesn't feel like that long ago. And it has gone pretty fast, but, you know, it has to end at some point. And the group of girls that we have who, I mean, there's 7 seniors on this team who have been together for this long, and a lot of us are fifth-year seniors. I mean, Kayla Miller, myself, Trumay Lucas, we're all fifth-year seniors. So we have a lot of experience, and we've been together long enough that it is very emotional, and we know that we're putting everything out on the court for this tournament, because a loss is the end of the road, and we don't want that to happen.
On senior night, who was the most choked up, you guys or Coach Martin, for knowing that this was going to be the last regular season home game?
It was a very emotional day, and I think that everyone was feeling emotional, and some people show it in different ways. But Coach Martin definitely showed some emotion, especially at walkthrough. She doesn't like the crowd to see it, but when that gym was empty at walkthrough, she was very emotional.
Well, Elena, I want to thank you for taking a few minutes tonight. I wish you the best of luck in the early round games, and you know, I'm looking forward to hopefully getting to see you play in Bridgeport. I haven't had the pleasure of seeing you in person yet.
Hopefully Bridgeport is where it is then.
Well, that would be great. And then onwards and upwards to one of the first choices in the WNBA draft, wherever that be it Chicago or Tulsa. I'm sure they would be thrilled to have you. Best of luck.
Thank you,
and enjoy the tournament experience.
Thank you, David. This is Denisha Stollers of the Kentucky Wildcats, and you listen to Dishin' and Switchin'. Watch out for those Wildcats, go Cats!
This is David Siegel on Dishin' and Switchin', the world of women's hoops, and we're talking NCAA tournament. And we're looking in Bridgeport, not too far from where I live, and the Bridgeport Regional, the number 2 seed, is the Kentucky Wildcats. And they had a little bit of a half of a scare in the first game of the tournament, but they're turning it on now, and we'll see how far this momentum can take them. And one of the stars of that team has been the post, Denisha Stallworth, who joins us now. Denisha, how are you this morning?
I'm good, and yourself? I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. So, you know, we got snow still on the ground here in Bridgeport, so in Connecticut. So I'm not sure how much you're looking forward to coming up here for the weather, but for the basketball, I'm sure you're excited.
Oh, yeah, definitely excited for this opportunity that we have, but we just got to know that we just have a big game on Tuesday, so we have to get past Dayton to get to Bridgeport.
Well, you know, one thing that I got to ask you right away is last year, as Kentucky made their run and, you know, finally reaching it in Rhode Island and getting knocked out, how difficult was it to sit there and being such a fierce competitor, just not being able to be on the court for games for that time?
It was definitely tough just watching my team last year and just practicing with them every day, then just knowing that I can't be in the games. It was kind of like my motivation just to try to practice hard and feel like I'm contributing as far as preparation. But they did a fantastic job last year, I felt, and just learning from our mistakes last year and just moving, trying to move forward this year.
Now, when you first were looking at other places to play when you wanted to leave Cal, admit it now, it was Coach Mitchell's dancing skills that got you to Kentucky, wasn't it?
It definitely. Coach Mitchell was trying to steal some of his dance moves. But outside of his dance moves, he's a great coach. He's a great person off the court, and I think that's what struck me the most.
Let's talk 40 minutes of dread for a minute here. Now, you know, a player like you who has the size and the quickness, you know, this is right up your alley, playing that hard, aggressive defense. And, you know, the numbers reflect it with your rebounds and your shot blocks. How effective you've been in the system?
I feel like I've definitely been effective. I feel Coach always installs confidence in me, just telling me, you know, if she comes to play, you know, block this shot, just the little things. I definitely feel like the conditioning is really helpful for this playing style, because you just can't be a big post in this system, because then you won't be as quick. And and I also feel that Coach Mitchell just does a great job with us, and just the way we practice defense and quick and, yeah, just defense.
Boy, I'll tell you, you know, the way that you guys get up and down the court, you know, you mentioned, you know, the quickness and how you can't be an overly large person for this system, but,
yeah,
you know, even on the offensive end, this system really seems to suit you to a T. Yeah, you know, you're getting in the paint. They get you the ball. You know, you're getting a chance to use those abilities. You know, it must be a lot of fun playing on both ends of the court.
It is. It's definitely a lot of fun, especially playing with people like Adia Mathis and Samari Walker, and you have Jennifer O'Neill. Just all of them bring different things to the table, and I love playing with them. And it's just been a wonderful season, and we really want to continue.
Yeah, Tanisha, the only thing is, though, you know, a player like you that wants to be out there, you know, 25 minutes a game with this system of in and out and the way that you guys can blow out some teams. I mean, you got to tell them, Coach, I want to play 40.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, 40 minutes playing hard at this level, you have to be Usain Bolt or something like that to be as quick. It's definitely tiring, but I think the plus part about this team is that we have a strong bench, so you give your all for 4 minutes and knowing that you have another sub. So 40 minutes at this game, at this pace, is definitely like 80 minutes.
Talk for 1 second, please, about your teammate, Adia Mathis, two-time SEC Player of the Year. You know, it's got to be a little bit sad to realize that as a senior it's coming to a close, the ability to play with such a great player.
Yeah, she's a great player. I mean, I didn't play with her a lot last year on the practice team. This year, it's been very fun. She's very intelligent. She has a great eye for the game. Great shooter, get to the basket, defense. She could do it all, and it's just been really great playing with a guard like her.
Well, Tanisha, I want to thank you for taking a few minutes before practice today and wish you the best of luck as we continue on the road to Bridgeport and then possibly on to New Orleans. I know that you're looking forward to getting back down to the south in the warm weather and have a little fun in the bayou.
Oh, yeah, can't wait. Hopefully it feels like California.
Well, Tanisha, you have a good day, and good luck in the next round, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Deladon, and you're listening to Dishin' and Swishin'.
Hi, everybody. This is David Siegel, and we're talking to some of the best-known and best-performing players of this year's NCAA tournament. And my next guest is a person that had such a good time in Hartford, Connecticut, earlier this year, that she's decided to make a trip to Bridgeport, Connecticut, just for kicks this spring. Alyssa Thomas, we're looking forward to having you back in Connecticut again.
I can't wait to be back there.
Well, congratulations on the way that the Terps have been playing, and in particular, you know, you have just had a spectacular tournament so far. You know, it just seems that when the lights go on in the tournament, you really turn it on even more.
You know, it's tournament time, and it's one and done, so, you know, it's all about bringing the best games.
Well, you know, 28.5 points of a game this year, thus far 19 points per game over the course of your 8 tournament career, games in the career. What is it about the tournament that seems to really make you, you know, just do that much more?
I want to win, maybe for, you know, Tiana and send her out and just, you know, just want to show people what Maryland is all about.
Well, you know, it's certainly been a tough year for you guys, physically in particular, and then the mental that goes with that. You know, you lose the guards, you lose Essence as a big post, you know, and you have really taken the time in midstream to add on to your game. You know, how difficult has it been to take on some of the extra ball handling and passing and distributing and point guard type things for your team in the middle of the season?
You know, with the injuries, I think as a team, we just understood that, you know, everyone had to do that much more. And for myself, you know, whatever they needed me to do, I just, you know, take on that role and, you know, whatever it takes to get that W.
You know, Coach Freeze last night said that you were the most competitive player that she's ever coached. Now, she had that national championship team with some pretty serious talent and some pretty intense competitors there. What do you think when you hear something like that from her?
You know, that's just a huge honor. You know, she's had such great players, and for her to say that she thinks I'm the most competitive, you know, I'm very proud.
So now you come up to Bridgeport, and you get to take on Connecticut once again. You know, both teams are different, definitely, than they were before, playing as early on in the year as you did. But what do you look for that has been similar to what you had there, and what do you expect to gain from your past games against them?
Last time around, you know, we just had lost Martin Mincy, had just put a freshman into the starting lineup. Really, we weren't looking good offensively, but, you know, only lost by 15, which it just says, you know, this is going to be a different game this time. And we're definitely ready to play this.
Well, you know, one of the great matchups that will be out there is, you know, Kelly Ferris is one of the best defenders in the country when it comes to playing that three position like you do. What is it that makes her so tough and makes it such a good challenge for you to go up against her?
She just, you know, really knows your tendencies and tries to force you into doing stuff that you're not comfortable doing.
You know, one person that always seems to be comfortable when she gets her hands on the ball on your team is, you know, like you mentioned, you were trying to keep Tiana Hawkins' season alive. She has been quite a revelation this year, the way that she has improved around the basket and all. Can you just talk for a second about your senior teammate and how important she is?
Yeah, you know, Tiana, you know, senior year, she's giving everything she has left to prove and just to show that she's one of the top players in the country. And she's so crucial for us when she's locked in and playing on all cylinders. She makes it that much better.
Well, now that you've been handling the ball as much as you have and all, you're going to tell, you know, Mosley and Mincy there that, you know, they're going to move up to the forward positions, right, and you're going to just handle the guards next year.
I wish, but no, it's back there is when they come back.
So tell me what we could expect when we see a UConn-Maryland game on Saturday.
Maryland's going to be playing hard for 40 minutes, giving everything they have to show people that we're serious.
you know, UConn in the last few games has been really increasing the minutes that their bench performers have gotten. You know, last night they played nine players that each put in, most of them played over 10 minutes. You guys run with six, basically. You know, is there ever any concern about starting to run out of steam in the tight confines of a tournament, that you guys are going to start getting a little more tired as opposed to having that deep bench?
No, I don't think that at all. I mean, as players, everyone wants to play 40 minutes, and, you know, we're conditioned to play 40 minutes. And, you know, when it comes down to crunch time and tight games, you know, you want to have your top players in. And, I mean, we're short bench, so we all have that experience, and we're ready to play.
Now, the red and the yellow and black combination here on the kicks, you know, is that something that, you know, is this a fashion statement that you guys like, this Maryland flag thing? Or it certainly is quite eye-catching, I'll say that.
Yeah, it's definitely unique, you know, just representing the Maryland flag. No one else can really say that they can do that, and it pops and definitely catches your eye.
So, you know, we'll try and come up with some things for you to do up here in Bridgeport, not that there's all that much. And you'll be pleased to know that it's actually supposed to hit 50 degrees. We shouldn't have too much snow on the ground for you anymore. So, you know, that should be a little bit better than coming up when you guys did earlier in this year.
For sure. That's definitely a plus.
Alyssa, I want to congratulate you again on a phenomenal season. You know, Coach Freeze and your team has done an amazing job overcoming the injuries the way that you have, you know, just adding on to your game. There's no question that you have become one of the best players in the country, and I congratulate you.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
And we'll look forward to seeing you this weekend.
We'll be there.
Safe travels. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you.
Hi, this is Muffin McGraw, head coach at the University of Notre Dame, and you're listening to Dishin' and Swishin'.
Hey, everybody, David Siegel talking to you this week with some of the stars and the impact players of the NCAA tournament. Nerd City is on the line. Chinea, hey, how are you, Chinea?
I am doing fabulous.
Well, you know, you're coming off a game against Michigan that was quite a performance by the team. And, you know, it was one of those times where they decided, we're going to give Chinea a day off. And, you know, you only had to play 35 minutes and, you know, 15 rebounds. But, you know, the others really stepped it up on the offensive end and on the defensive end.
Definitely. I'm so proud of our team's effort from last night. I just think, especially with Jocelyn's energy starting the game, it was contagious. Making a shot is contagious. And I knew this entire year we've had great shooters, capable shooters, but it's been a matter of fact of screening for them and them looking for the shots at the right times and not being too unselfish by passing up good shots for someone else. So I think today last night we connected on so many good cylinders, and I'm just so proud of how our team responds to adversity.
You know, and, you know, one thing that is really interesting when I was looking is, so now you guys go, you know, to Spokane, and, you know, that's a home away from home for you guys. You play
it
there
is.
All the time. But, you know, we got two Pac-12 and two SEC there. So you guys, you and Cal have to defend the territory.
Right? I know. We have to hold it down for the West Coast. I mean, we love supporting each other, but only one team comes out of that regional victorious, and I want it to be the girls from Nerd City.
Well, you know, and now talking for a second, one of the things that's going on here is, you know, congratulations. You are one of the finalists for the Naismith Award. So
thank you.
You know, you're the first person I read to win both the Player of the Year and Defensive Player of the Year at the same time in the Pac-12.
Yeah, I was so humbled and honored by being both a player and a defender of the year. But, I mean, I have such a great supporting cast that tends to get unheralded. I mean, Michaela Roof, she's so solid every game of defensively, and they make my job easier. I tell them, if you guys can get the stops and get the shots, I will grab the rebound. or if you guys can put me in a good position to finish, I will try my best to finish. And my teammates are so unselfish, and I'm just so happy to play with them. I mean, they talk about all the time, you know, all these big-time players from around the country, and people tend to forget about some of the solid people we have on our team, and even, you know, Cal for being ranked number 5 or 6 and, you know, competing right now. So I'm just really proud, and every chance I get, I want to talk my teammates up because they have done something very special and really helped me out this year, becoming a leader and then just teaching me how to play the game the right way. So I'm so grateful to have Coach Tara and my teammates and so many wonderful people supporting us here on the West Coast.
Well, you know, Janae, you talk about the people that are getting all the press and stuff. You know, they've got the 3 to C, but, you know, it seems to me that you're number 4 they ignore.
Are you a poet and I didn't even know it? What?
I'm applying for Nerd City.
I know you should. I think you might get a, you know, nice little pass when you come on the West Coast to enter. But I think that, yeah, I mean, people tend to, it's tough, you know, being a team and really working so hard. We're over 30 and 2 when a lot of expectations were pretty low for us this year. And it's hard to see, you know, a lot of people get limelight. And I see my teammates out like scratch and claw, you know, maintain these wins. Sometimes get passed and looked over, but I just really, I mean, I think the people that come to Maples and see how our team plays, they just fall in love with it. And if I think, especially this time of year, it's an opportunity for us to demonstrate who we are as individuals on and off the court. And I think our teammates are going to shine, especially these coming weeks. I mean, we've had a great year, a great season, but one thing about Stanford, we always work to keep improving. And I think that's one thing that people can all respect. And I'm just really proud of our efforts so far.
The success during the regular season, in particular, of the other teams in the Pac-12, you know, it was nice to see 4 teams into the tournament this year. Cal,
yeah,
of course, is still going. You know, it's interesting to have the, we won't get into the whole, you know, why you two were 1 and 2 in the same region. Again, we won't get into that. was it nice to have this kind of extra challenge this year? Did that help you get ready for the tournament?
Definitely. I mean, Cal is our rivals. They're our rival school, and in the tournament, anytime we see a Pac-12 school go onto the big board, you know, for the NCAA tournament, we cheer for them. We cheered for Cal. But knowing that they are in our bracket and they are a number 2 seed, I think we come in with a different approach because we didn't play them in the Pac-12 championship game. So we're a little bit more fresh approach. And we definitely like to see them win to support our league. But at the same time, we're all about Stanford over here. We're all about that Cardinal Red. And we just want to take care of our business and do all we can to put ourselves in a good position to succeed. And that starts on Saturday for us against Georgia.
So Saturday, Georgia, we have 2 of the greatest coaches in the history of women's college basketball going head-to-head, 2 Women's Basketball Hall of Famers. Yeah, that's kind of cool in its own right.
Definitely. I mean, I think correct me if I'm wrong, their coach tends to, you know, bust a move occasionally. He's pretty out there. I think that we might have something, you know, to throw at them before the game. So we're excited to see what Nerd City 2 will bring.
Well, Janae, I want to thank you for taking a few minutes with me today, and I want to wish you the best of luck, not only in this game, but as you progress through the tournament and move along, and also in the postseason award finals here. Let's see how Nerd City comes out and progresses and advances.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
You take care and good luck.
Appreciate it. Hey, it's Janae Ogle McKay, your favorite nerd on the West Coast, and you're listening to Dishin' and Swishin'.
Hey, everybody. David Siegel talking to some of the impact players in the NCAA tournament on this week's Dishin' and Swishin'. Now, my next guest I'm pleased to have on, first time on Dishin' and Swishin', it's a player that for the last 1.5 to 2 years, I have been saying that I would love to have this girl play on any team that I coach because she is all motion, all impact, all everything, all the time. And I'm pleased to welcome Kayla McBride of Notre Dame to Dishin' and Swishin'. Kayla, good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Caleb, you know, you sit there and you just come off those screens and you work hard and you're playing on both ends of the court. 28 points last night against Iowa. That was quite a performance.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fun. I have to give a lot of credit to my teammates. I think they were finding me in open spots, and I was just taking advantage of opportunities. that they created for me.
Well, Kayla, this season has definitely been one, a real coming out for you on the offensive end in particular, considering the graduation of Natalie and Brittany and Devereaux and all the others, all the other changes that have gone on in the lineup. So, you know, you seem to have even just come in with a different mindset this season.
Yeah. I think it's more just a lot of confidence. I think that it starts with Sky and Ace and even Coach McGraw. I think that we all believe that we can win, and we believe in one another and each other's ability, and we just have a lot of confidence in one another, and it's contagious.
So talk to me for a second about having a senior like Sky beside you, you know, in that backcourt, and then a freshman like Joel on the other side who can just, you know, both of them can light it up at any time, and they bring such a great skill set to the team.
You know, I think it makes the game a lot easier. I think when you have somebody like Sky, who's just a student of the game, she's able to teach you so many different things, and then you have a player like Jewel, who's just unbelievably athletic and can do so many things on the court. It's almost easy to play with them, you know, and I think we've built a big chemistry starting in the summer, just playing together, learning each other, what each other likes to do and things like that. And, I mean, Sky's going to find us. He's also going to be able to create her own shot. And I think a lot of people forget that Jewel's just a freshman and all the things that she does. So I got a lot of fun playing with them and learning from them.
Well, you know, you certainly have a lot of skills, and certainly your game is phenomenal. But you look at somebody like Jewel, and say, do you just ever just shake your head and say, damn, it comes so easy for her?
Yeah, you know, I think going down the court, and I just see her, you know, coming down the other side, and I throw the ball up. Gosh knows how high, and she just goes up and gets in and taps it in. I'm just like, wow, that's easy, you know. But you know, I'm really proud of her and how she stepped up and how she's come along. I think she's exceeded a lot of expectations that she had, and I'm really proud of her.
And now, look, and then talking for one last second on the other side, talking about Skylar, what would people not know about her? She's gotten so much press and so much, you know, you've seen her three to C campaign and stuff. Playing alongside of her, what is it that somebody wouldn't know about her game?
I think people don't realize how hard she is on herself. I think she, you know, she expects perfection from herself and everybody around her. I think that she's more of a student of the game. I don't think people realize how much she's watching film and how much she's trying to get better. You know, I think they just see us playing the games and stuff like that, but it's a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff that you don't see is her watching film and her teaching others. You know, I think, especially you look at Jewel, even myself, when I came in as a freshman, Scott was the first one teaching me the offense, teaching me what I need to do, how I'm supposed to move off the screen and things like that, and I think that's probably the biggest thing.
Now, one thing that I have speculated about you, that I mentioned at the Big East tournament it just seems to me like, you know, you must go around and kick husky puppies, stuffed ones, of course, the way that you just seem to own UConn. So what is it about, and it's not just UConn, though, that's where I was really going with this, is what is it about the big games, the lights that go on, and it just seems that as good as you are normally, you just bring it up another notch?
I think it's just a belief that we can win. I think that, I don't know, I think it's just kind of an instinct. I think it's just part of the player that I am. I feel like my dad always told me big-time players show up in big-time games, and that's just always in the back of my mind. And, you know, I'm the type of player who still gets nervous before games, and I just get a little bit more nervous before bigger games, you know, and I just feel like I just always try to tell myself, play within myself and do what I normally do, because I think sometimes in big games people try to do too much and stuff like that, so I just try to stay within myself and just stay within the offense, get everybody involved, things like that, and I just kind of let the game come to me.
You know, one of the things that I love about your game is, you know, as good a three-point shooter as you can be, the way that you attack the basket all the time is something that I think that in a lot of ways is kind of a forgotten thing these days with the three-point line. You know, Notre Dame in particular, you guys, everybody complains that you go to the line so much, but you guys are ruthless when it comes to attacking the basket. It's just a fun thing to watch for someone like me that appreciates that.
You know, I think so with Coach McGraw, and she just she never wants us to settle. I think yesterday was like one of the first shots of the second half. Sky came to me, and I made a few in the first half, you know, so I was kind of feeling it. I shot one in the corner, and she's like, "Kim, don't settle," you know, and she wants us to get to the basket, get to the free throw line. She wants us to be aggressive all the time. It's just something that she's just instilled in us, and I think with our offense and all the cutting and moving and we work with each other so well. It's kind of easy to get easy buckets, you know, when we're playing with each other. But we have a lot of offensive threats, and I think that's where that goes.
So now you go in and you play in the team that has already knocked off two top seeds, and you're looking at this team, and how do you get ready for a team that you know is playing, you know, on borrowed money? Nobody expected Kansas to even make the tournament, and here they come ready to try and knock off you.
I mean, I think you have to respect them. They're there for a reason. They're NFC 16 because they beat some really good teams, you know, and we have to respect them and what they do offensively and defensively. We have to go in and we have to work on what our game plan is and execute that if we want to come out on top.
You know, last question for you. As you look forward, you know, I know you guys don't, you're going to give me the one game at a time answer, but I got to ask, you know, is it something that interests you playing Connecticut one more time? Or would you have rather have seen somebody else in that looking ahead just because, not out of fear or anything, but just because I want to play somebody different?
Yeah, no, I don't think it's like that. I think UConn's a great team, and a lot of people expect them to be in that position. And, I mean, whoever's there, that's who's there. I mean, UConn's a great team. It'll be a battle regardless of who we're playing, especially if it's in the Final Four. So, I mean, I give UConn the credit in the world, and I'm sure they're going to do their best to get there, but it doesn't really matter who's there. We're going to take it one game at a time, and we still have a few games to go before we can think about UConn.
Sounds good, Kayla. Congratulations again on a great season. You know, and it's funny, you look at people like you, and you looked at, you know, someone like a Ferris even, and, you know, and somehow they left you off the preseason Big East teams. You just wonder sometimes what people were thinking. Congratulations on a great year, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in the rest of the tournament.
All right, thank you so much.
Fans, this is LaTrina Robinson, and you are listening to Dishin' and Swishin' for the latest and greatest in women's basketball.
Welcome back to the Dishin' and Swishin' NCAA Tournament Special. And the number two seed in the Norfolk region is the Duke Blue Devils. And they are a team that is, you know, kept their stride despite losing All-American Chelsea Gray. And one of the reasons that they've done that is their sophomore center, Elizabeth Williams, and she joins us now. Hi, how are you today, Elizabeth?
I'm doing well, thank you.
So first question that everybody wonders is, you know, they've seen the slow and gradual time that it's taken with these injuries that this team has had. So, you know, including yourself here, what percentage would you say you guys are about when it comes to perfect health?
I mean, everyone's pretty healthy right now. Obviously with Chelsea gone, but I think overall the people that are playing are feeling really good.
And that includes you and the problems with the lower legs and all. I mean, those are some injuries that are extremely difficult to shake off.
Oh yeah, I'm feeling good. I spent the past summer rehabbing, and then I just worked my way back, and so I'm good now.
Well, yeah, certainly, you know, you're on a hot streak now. You know, against Hampton, 18 points, 6 rebounds, 3 blocks, and you know, somebody on this call is nearing 1,000 points already in only their sophomore year.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
Well, it's not me.
Yeah, I didn't even realize it.
Well, come on, you know, tell Lindy he's got to keep you up on these things.
yeah.
You know, but the team, talk for a second about Alexis Jones and the job that she has done filling in for Chelsea.
Well, Alexis is great, and I think she's just made an incredible effort to get to know each and every one of us on and off the court. And I think her ability to just communicate with us and try to get the best out of each and every one of us has really helped her. And, of course, I think our captains have just done a tremendous job of bringing her in, and Chelsea, too, just communicating with her and telling her that we trust her and we have all the confidence in the world in her.
Well, she's certainly playing like a seasoned veteran, and, you know, and it's great to see everybody starting to really pull together. Nice to see Riche back in the lineup as well as Chloe. And, of course, Trisha Liston and Haley Peters have had great years as well. But now, talking about you for a second here, they always talk about guard play, but it's the post like you that I love to watch. What do you get the bigger thrill out of? A nice block or a nice shot, nice putback, rebounding? What's the biggest thing in your game that you enjoy?
I definitely like blocking shots. I think that just can get the crowd going, and it definitely gets my teammates really pumped up for defense. So I'd probably say blocking a shot.
Well, you're averaging almost 3 block shots a game, which is tremendous impact. And, again, now we're getting Lindy's stats here. You know, he has told me that you have now blocked a shot for over 65 straight games. So you definitely make your presence felt inside that paint.
Yeah, definitely. At some point, teams are going to have to get in the paint and try to make paint shots. So it's just my job to not let them score, really.
Now, on the other side of the court, you know, the offensive game is truly coming along, and you've got an array of moves that are really improving. You know, it's clear that you've spent a lot of time working on your offensive game, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely important as a post player, and just in my role, having the ability to dominate, knowing that, you know, Chelsea's out and Lex has a little bit more of a bigger role to play. I definitely need to step up also.
You know, one of the things that seemed to notice is now after that game in Connecticut, that second half, instead of just the team didn't seem to sulk or hang their heads at all. You guys have really seemed to really turn it up a notch and really focus harder on playing complete games at 110% or what any of the cliches you want to use. But there's no doubt that it's shown on the court that there's been more of a chip on the team's shoulder.
Right, definitely. I mean, we want to come into every game playing the best that we can play, especially towards the latter part of the season when nothing's guaranteed. You're only guaranteed one game. So I think we've just been trying to focus on, you know, playing really hard, and we just love playing with each other. So.
Now, it had to have been a really close decision when they were doing the seedings between you guys as a 2 and Stanford as the 1. You were probably number 4 and 5 in the seedings. Would you have preferred to have put yourself in a position to, you know, maybe go out west, or are you happy staying close to home and being in Virginia and playing there?
I think we're happy where we are. Of course, you can't really control those things. So I think for us, it was just important that we make the most of it. We knew we'd be hosting the first 2 rounds, but no matter where we ended up, I think we just wanted to make the most of it.
Got to be nice having the crazies around, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
that was quite a first round game. There was no question that Hampton team was not really a 15 seed if you looked at their abilities.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They are ranked first nationally in points allowed defensively. So they've got some good defenders. They've got some really athletic players. And I think it was just unfortunate for them that they ended up with the seed that they got and ended up playing us at home.
Yeah, now, they talk about how guard play is so key to winning in these things, but yeah, you look around in these teams, and I look at you, and I look at Griner, and I look at Dolson, and I look at Achunwa and Notre Dame, who you could end up facing. This seems to be a year of posts that, the big girls are starting to get a little bit of love here, and I think that that's well-deserved. You know, do you look ahead and say, I see these other posts coming at me, too?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, post play is important, and for me, it's just being able to be a dominant post player for my team and do whatever my team needs to do. But I guess it's cool that overall nationally, post players are getting a little more attention.
And now juggling this Duke education, which is one of the finest in the country, along with trying to play in the NCAA tournament, has got to be really somewhat taxing on your time.
Well, it's kind of nice that we're at home, so we're still able to go to some of our classes. Of course, we can't go to some just because of the way the NCAA scheduling works, but it's nice to kind of have that home environment. I've got a couple tests this week, so just being able to balance out, you know, academics and basketball, and know that in the tournament you really do have to focus on basketball, but at the same time we're still student athletes.
So you get tests on and off the court, we could say.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Elizabeth, I want to congratulate you on a phenomenal sophomore season. Things are only getting better for your team and for yourself, and I look forward to seeing you continue to march through the tournament and head into that great matchup against Notre Dame down the road.
Thank you. I appreciate it.